turn now to the book of Luke, the 17th chapter, page 1100 in your Schofield Bible. Luke chapter 17, beginning with verse 26, we'll read through verse 33. Verses 26 through verse 33. We'll read these responsibly. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be in the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. The text verse for this evening's message is this 32nd verse. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Let's pray. Father, you're awfully good to this church. We're thankful for this day. It's been a wonderful day in every respect. We have yet to hear another message from thee. We look forward to that which you've given our preacher to preach, and we sure would be mistaken to come here to prepare ourselves for entering into this church and assembling at this place. It would all be so very useless unless we listened. And so help us just now in this moment to prepare our hearts and our minds and to believe that there's something here for us each. So bless our preacher, our hearing of thy word, in Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the preaching of the book. All these almost 39 years I've stood behind this same piece of wood and preached from this book. And here we are again tonight in need of a truth that will help us. I'm convinced tonight that what I'm going to say will be a help. I pray you'd help the people to listen, for I cannot help them unless you help me and they listen to what I say. Please help us to listen carefully. Amen. I promise you tonight that I'm aware of the time, and I promise you that we will not get out later than usual. I'm sort of like the fellow who went to a restaurant to eat, and this wealthy man asked him, what the average tip was. He said, $25 is the average tip. He said, what's the biggest tip you ever got? He said, $5. He said, I never have come up to average yet. Now, tonight, I'm going to let you out the usual time, but I don't know what the usual time is. But I promise you that that we'll not be much, if any, later getting out than usual, though we got 10-minute later start. I could really get your attention tonight if I announced a sermon on why Jesus is going to come in 2000. Boy, you'd sit up and listen. If I'd announced it this morning, we'd have to bring extra chairs in tonight, hundreds of extra chairs in tonight. If I were going to preach on why Jesus is going to come in 2000. Or if I preached a sermon, you'd sit up and listen. If I preached a sermon on when the Battle of Armageddon is going to take place, or better still, the Battle of Armageddon is soon. For many of you, the Battle of Armageddon is fought between you and your wife every week at home. And I'm more concerned about helping you with that battle than I am preaching on the Battle of Armageddon. But if I announce the fact that I was going to preach on the Battle of Armageddon is soon, I'm sure that it would draw your attention and everybody would be listening to me as I speak. Or I could turn to Jeremiah chapter 50 and chapter 51, and I could preach to you on the United States in prophecy. And I'm convinced that there in those chapters we have the United States mentioned in prophecy. If I told you I was going to teach next Wednesday night on the United States in prophecy, I promise you that many of you that don't even know we have electricity on Wednesday night would be here for the service Wednesday night. If I were going to preach soon on or announce a sermon on United Nations and the end time. By the way, all of these things I could preach on and I could teach on. And in various times in my life when I was younger and knew more than I know now, I used to preach on these things a great deal. Old Dr. John Rice used to say, too many people are preaching on an Antichrist that's going to come. They ought to be preaching on the Antichrist in the Ministerial Association right in their own town. But if I were to talk about the United, and I think the United Nations is in Bible prophecy, and I think the United States is in Bible prophecy. I think the European Common Market is in Bible prophecy. And if I were to preach on that tonight, or announce that, folks would sit up and take note, and you'd listen, and you'd want to hear what I have to say. Or if I could speak on why the Roman Catholic Church is the mother of harlots, and I have no doubt that that's true, and the Pope is the false prophet, and I have no doubt that that is true. If he's not the false prophet, he's dead, you're a false prophet. And if I preached on that, it would certainly get your attention. Or if I spoke on 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy, and I could do that. I've talked that time or two, and I know it very fairly well. If I preached on Daniel's 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy, or the beast of Daniel chapter 2. If I spoke on the beast of Daniel 2 and told you how that represents the Babylonian Empire and the Medes and Persians and the Grecian Empire and the Roman Empire and the revived Roman Empire, all that, you'd think I was real smart. And now the truth is, Bible prophecy is something that interests most people. Jack Van Impe has an entire TV program about it. He could tell all he knows about it in 5 minutes, but he's fleshed it out for a long, long time. And he has a TV program wasting time just talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. You've heard me say this. I know Jack Van Impe, knew him back when he was a fundamentalist, and I know him well. And I recall he came out in his paper years ago, and he said Kissinger was the Antichrist. And I called him, and I said, Jack, that's dumb, man. Kissinger's not the Antichrist. McGovern is the Antichrist. But I have come out now. I believe the Antichrist is a woman. She has a husband who's president of the United States. And I'm starting a series of sermons on the Antichristess. That would get it. I mean, boy, if I just do that, I would get a crowd. Fortune tellers make a good living at telling what's going to happen. They think it's going to happen in the future. A book on prophecy is oftentimes a bestseller. And prophetic lectures draw great crowds. But I want to say something tonight. You hear me. It is more important than you study what has happened than what will happen. Let me say it again. It is more important that you study what has happened than what will happen. Personally, I prefer history over prophecy. I finally got Evan's attention. He woke up when I said that just then. But I personally prefer history over prophecy. Did it ever dawn on you that the Bible's a book of history? Ever dawn on you that the Pentateuch, that's the first five books in the Bible, are basically the history of a nation? Ever dawn on you that Joshua is the history of the entering the promised land, and Judges is a history book of the time of the Judges, and Ruth is a history book that deals with the family that went down to Moab and left the will of God? Ever dawn on you that 1 Samuel is a history book, and 1 Kings and 2 Kings history books, and the Chronicles are history books, and Ezra is a book of history telling about the rebuilding of the temple, and Nehemiah is a history book telling about the rebuilding of the wall, and Esther is a history book telling about the saving of God's people by a courageous woman, and Job is a history book telling us about a man that had patience and faith in God, and Psalms basically is a book of historic writings by a man called David and a few others. And Proverbs is a history book telling us about what Solomon wrote to his son, basically. And Ecclesiastes is the same thing. It's a history book recording Solomon's advice to his son and to others. And Isaiah is a history book, and all the prophets are history books, basically warning the people of God not to do wrong because God has punished people in the past. The four Gospels are history books about the life of Christ. The book of Acts is a history book about the spreading of the gospel in the New Testament church. And the epistles basically are history books teaching the churches what to do and how to behave.
Only one book in the entire Bible is a book on prophecy, and that is not all on prophecy, and a few isolated chapters elsewhere in the Bible deal with prophecy. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe that Jesus is coming again. I believe in the premillennial, pre-tribulation rapture of the saints. I believe that what I said a while ago, I believe the United Nations is a tool of the devil getting ready for the Antichrist. I believe the Roman Catholic Church is the mother of harlots in Revelation 17 and 18, and the Pope is the false prophet. And as Martin Luther said, I used to think the Pope was a vicar of God. Now I think he's a vicar of hell. I believe all of that. I believe in the United States being a part of the Western Confederacy. I believe that one day Russia will march down on Palestine, and Libya will join her, and Iran will join her, and part of Germany will join her, and Turkey will join her and march down little Palestine. I believe that the Western powers shall say, you're not going to get by with that. I believe that they will come and defend little Israel on the mountains of Israel against Russia. I believe then that the Eastern nations, China and Japan, will walk over the dried up Euphrates River and fight in the great battle, the end time battle. And I believe that the Western powers will conquer, and a man who's called the Antichrist, not from Russia, but from the Western powers, from our side, if you please, will rule the entire world for just a while. And I believe that when he stands on the Mount of Megiddo, I believe that Jesus himself will come back from heaven, and he with all the holy angels with him, and the saints of God riding on white horses, and shall establish a kingdom that will cover the earth with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. I believe all of that. But all of that won't help you as much as studying the history and studying how people got in trouble in the past so you won't get in trouble, and how people kept out of trouble in the past so you won't get in trouble in the future. Basically, my counseling is based on, get this now, percentage of how things turned out in history. People say, well, how'd you have so much wisdom? No, I haven't got much wisdom. I got some sense. I got enough sense to know that fella goes, if 100 people go down this road and didn't turn out right for 90, I'm not going to take my chances. And I've got enough sense to know if 100 people went down this road and it turned out right for 90, I'm going to take my chances on this road. I'm trying to say, what America needs is to study history. America, study the Roman Empire and see what our future is if we don't turn back to God. America, study Sodom. All you queers and the queer people in America, you study God's judgment on Sodom and you see where America's headed. I want you to know America needs to have enough sense to go back and see what's happened to other civilizations like this civilization and study history and learn from the mistakes they made and the judgment of Almighty God that fell upon them. Check how the prodigal son turned out, you young people. Check how Ahab turned out, you henpecked husbands. Check how the queers in Sodom turned out, you queers. I didn't say gay, I said queer. Check how Samson turned out, you promiscuous livers. Check how Saul turned out, those of you who are proud. Check how Absalom turned out, those of you who are rebellious and disloyal. Check how Lot turned out, those of you that wanted to move so you can get an almighty dollar instead of being in the will of God. And you hear me again, and you hear me well. You better find the church first and look for a job near your church rather than finding a job and looking for a church near your job. Do you hear what I said? Now, I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not getting on anybody that's already done it. I'm simply saying it's as unscriptural as sodomy is for a person to let a company decide where he lives. You let God decide where you live. People say, oh, Glenn House, I've been transferred to Leetot, Kentucky. You know a good church in Leetot, Kentucky? Well, what you better do is you better get on your knees and ask God where you ought to go to church. When you get there, find a job somewhere near the place where God wants you to go to church. I say it again. Your church is 10,000 times more important than your job is. And you better thank God you got a preacher that preaches like this to you. Might be a good idea for you to study history. Those who follow the job and those who didn't, and see how they turned out. Check those who attended state universities and those who didn't, and see how they turned out. Oh, but you say I'm different. No, you're not different. If 100 people go to a state university and 95 of them turn out bad, and 100 people go to a Hiles Anderson College or some other Bible college, and they turn out 95% turns out right, I'm not going to take my put my life in my hands and go cross my judgment against the percentage. Now, you listen to me. You better study. And if you don't know how to study, you come and see me, and I'll tell you the story of people that go to state universities and how they turn out. Well, I know one that turned out okay. For everyone you know, I know a dozen that didn't turn out okay. Check and see in history those who got dissatisfied and left. Check the people that became disenchanted with this preacher. Now, I'm not saying all of them are bad, but just check and see the percentage. And then check and see those who've been faithful, loyal people here all these years. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, instead of predicting what will happen, you better find out what did happen and let history help you make your decision. Check and see those critics versus non-critics. Check and see rebels versus loyal people. See how they turned out. Check and see people that put their children in Christian schools and how their kids turn out to those who put their kids in the public school, how they turned out. And as long as this mouth will open and these lungs will breathe and these feet will walk, and this voice will speak, I'll speak against the government schools and say every single child of God ought to put your kid in an old-fashioned Christian school. So I don't like your preaching. You better thank God somebody loves you enough to tell you the truth. Check and see. Just check and see. I mean, just check history and see what happened to the kids and see what happened to the kids that went to Christian schools. Just check and see. Study history, preachers, preacher boys, and see how preachers turned out who stayed at their churches rather than letting a deacon chase them off. You check, study history, and see how many churches had been built by Hiles Anderson College students who were rebels. Check history. Listen to me carefully. Don't miss this. Check and see how many disgruntled Hiles Anderson College staff and faculty members. Check and see how they turned out. Just check and see. Those who knew more than Dr. Evans, but not anybody knows more than Dr. Evans, but those that think you know more than Dr. Evans or this preacher or the administration of our school, just check and see how they turned out. Check and see where those people who thought they knew more, those professors and those a few others, check and see how they turned out. Let me tell you something. What you better do is go down the road and see what happens and then come back and make your decision. Study history, not prophecy. Don't study what will happen. Study what has happened. Check and see how the rock music crowd turned out, kids. Check and see what happened to Elvis Presley. Check and see what happened to Gene Harlow. Check and see what happened to the rock music crowd. Check and see how the Beatles crowd have turned out. The Beatles themselves have turned out. And check and see how the young people who grew up in First Baptist Church, who thought they were so smart, they could listen to dirty, stinking, filthy, sorry, satanic rock music and turn out right. Okay, trot your crowd out and let me see them. Check and see, young people, how the young people who disrespectful to their parents turned out. Study history. See how young people who sit as far back as they can in the service. Now, I know somebody's got to sit on the back row. I'm talking about teenagers now. Check and see how those teenagers turn out that want to sit back in the back so they can misbehave. Just check and see how they turn out. Listen, what America needs is a little bit of study about prophecy and a whole lot of study about history. Check and see how those college students turn out that lay out a semester. Let me say a word to you, future brides. It is the dumbest thing you'll ever do to lay out a semester to get ready for your wedding. He won't take you 10 minutes to get ready. Just order some flowers. Call down and tell them to give you a gown that covers everything. A wedding gown covers everything. If you don't get one, we'll make you cover. I'm trying, and here's what happened. You leave your boyfriend, your fiancé, and you're away from him for 4 months when you ought to be getting to know him better. I wouldn't marry you. I'd cancel the ceremony. If my girlfriend will be home 4 months before she marries me, do you understand what I said? If my girlfriend will be home 4 months before she marries me, then with me, I'll trot down to Howells Anderson College and put my hook in the water and I'll catch me another one. I'll catch me somebody who wants to be with me. It doesn't take you 4 stupid months to get ready for a wedding. You get ready for a wedding by sitting in Howells Anderson College and building a bus route and going soul winning and learning from people that know how you ought to live. I'm saying check history. Check and see how those marriages turned out. Check and see. Go to history sometime. Somebody, would you tell me the names of those people who voted Spurgeon out? Anybody here give me a name of one? Or how about give me the names of those who refused to ordain Dwight L. Moody? How'd you like to be on that presbytery? They refused to ordain Dwight L. Moody. Anybody know who they were? Anybody know the names of those who voted Lee Robertson out of the Hamilton County Baptist Association? Anybody know the names of those that voted John Rice out of the Tarrant County Baptist Association? Anybody know the names of those that voted J. Frank Norris out of the Tarrant County Baptist Association? Anybody know the names of those who imprisoned John Bunyan? Anybody know the names of those who expelled John Wesley? Anybody know the names of those who persecuted Lester Roloff? Anybody know the names of the staff member who turned on Lee Robertson? Anybody know the name of the lady who tried to scandalize John R. Rice? Anybody know the name of those who scandalized David Livingston? Anybody know the names of the men who tried to destroy Bob Jones Sr.? What you better do is you better stand beside those men of God that believe that book and the churches that believe that book and believe in soul winning and separation, and you better find out what happened to those who stood in opposition against them. I'm saying study history and find out how certain roads turn out. We're trying to figure out how it's going to turn out. You understand? Quit trying to figure out how it's going to turn out. Study history and you can find out how it turned out. I don't care what you're doing, there are precedents. There are examples to whatever decision you're going to make. You cannot go to the end of your life and see what's going to happen, how it'll turn out. But you can go to the end of those lives that live before you and see how it's going to turn out. This country is full of people that idolize Spurgeon, but if you're alive today, they'd take a stand against him. This country is full of preachers who'll quote John and Charles Wesley, wouldn't go hear him preach, and wouldn't let him preach in his pulpit if it came to the church. This country is full of people who whitewash the sepulchers of those men that died and persecute and hate the men for taking the same stand that they took. I got a letter. Said, dear, I'm not reading it. I'm summarizing. Dear Dr. Hiles, my church is not doing well. I understand that your church is doing real well. Is there any way that you could send me some ideas about how my church could get going again? My church is not getting many people saved, and it just seems like we're stuck. Can you give me an idea or some ideas that'll help me? Signed, Henry Kincaid. I looked at that letter and I said, I know that name. Henry Kincaid. Henry Kincaid was the man who in 1957 stood up and made the motion that Dr. Jack Hiles and Dr. Joe Boyd be expelled from the Texas Baptist Convention. I sent him a copy of the Book of Acts. Don't you think those people that were there, Dr. Criswell sat right in front of me. He didn't vote for me either. Seven people, that's the only way I'm like Spurgeon. We both got seven votes and we got voted down. Don't you think those people, if they could have gone down to 1998 and seen 5,112 people getting baptized in one Sunday, they'd trot back down there and say, I vote for Hiles. Well, what you better do is you better look back and see how it turned out for other people that took a stand, and you better decide on the basis of what you have learned from the past and what you think is going to happen in the future. I got voted out of the association. By the way, I was down in Dallas a couple years ago. I was preaching for Scott Gray's dad. I drove back down the highway 67, I think it was, to Dallas, and looked up, and there was a Dallas Baptist Association that moved out there. It's about 5:30, 6 o'clock in the morning. I just stopped, wrote a note of thanks, and stuck it under the door. So I want to thank you fellas for voting me out. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. And I just, I shouldn't have done it, but I do a lot of stuff I shouldn't do. I put a little deal about how our Sunday school attendance was, and how many folks they baptized, and how many folks they get saved. I put a few statistics about Hiles Anderson College, which is bigger than the college I attended now, and just did that in Jesus' name. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, you better find out how it already has turned out instead of predicting. And by the way, you are no exception. You kids going to public schools, you're no exception. You moms and dads taking your kids out of this church and moving somewhere to get the almighty dollar because the Sears Roebuck has transferred you somewhere, you're no exception. And before you get mad at me, let me remind you that this is why you came. Until it got down to you. You came to this church and said, boy, that guy lets her rip. Boy, he lets them have it. Now then, I'm letting you have it. And you better listen to me. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. I said, America, study Rome. America, study Egypt. America, study Babylon. America, study Greece. America, study the Medes and Persians. And by the way, it's more important that you study what happened to the Roman Empire than the Roman Empire in prophecy. It's more important you study Roman Empire in history than the Roman Empire in prophecy. It's more concerned, more important that you study what happened to nations and empires in the past rather than what you think is going to happen in the future. I'm saying tonight, get in history. I mean the history of your own life and the history of other lives and the history of other nations and the history of other churches and find out percentage-wise what direction you ought to go. Remember Lot's wife. Those of you that followed the job market, that's exactly what Lot did. Lot chose the well-watered plains toward Sodom. That's where the money was. I better see what happened to Lot. See what happened to his wife. See what happened to his children. See what happened to him. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Abraham and Sarah. They followed the job market. They went down to Egypt because they couldn't make a good living in Canaan. Now you listen to me, I'll say it again. It is as unscriptural as drinking whiskey for you to let some secular, unsaved company determine where you live. Do what that man did right there. Years ago, that man right there said, I'm coming to Hammond, Indiana. I'm rearing my family at the First Baptist Church of Hammond. He quit his job where he was, brought his family here, and looked for a job after he got here, and that's a wise man. Remember Abraham and Sarah. What happened to them because they followed the job market. Remember John Mark. Remember Elimelech and Naomi. Remember the fact that they followed the job market. And remember Balaam, the preacher who followed popularity. Remember Jacob, who followed the job market and ended up with 20 wasted years. Study the folks who followed the job market. Study folks who followed the rock music market philosophy. Study folks who went to heathen state universities. I'm not mad at you. Bless God, I love you enough where as long as I've got breath to breathe, I'm going to warn you about the dirty, rotten, secular state universities. But I want to play football. I wouldn't let a dead pig determine where I go to school. Now, you sit with the house. I'm going to leave. I guarantee you, as you walk out the door, you're going to be getting the truth. Read history in books and find out the percentage of certain roads. Here's what my preaching is. My preaching is simply this. I say, young people that have gone down this road, I'm going to look at it and see how it turned out for most of them. That's what my counseling is. I said a while ago. My counseling is the percentage. If this road turns out more happy folks than this road, I'm going to tell you to go this road. And so I have examined through 52 and a half years of preaching and a half century of pastoring and more sermons than any living pastor has ever preached. And more counseling sessions than any man who's ever pastored New Testament church. I found out what happens. You go down this road. I followed it to check and see how it turns out. I've checked to see who the people are back here who went down this road. I'm going to look and see how they turned out. I'm going to go in here and see. Don't you go home while I'm gone. I'm going to the washroom is what I'm going to do. Hey, folks, I'm in here checking that folks in here are miserable. They have broken hearts, broken lives, broken marriages, wrecked futures. They have destroyed their air castles and their dreams and their hopes and their plans for the future. Young people, don't go down that road. It may be a good trip, but the destination is not going to be happy. And one of these days, you're going to sit down with a broken heart and a broken life and broken dreams and broken aspirations and say, I wish I'd not gone down that road because an old man checked to see what was there. But I've also gone down another road. The road of those that listen to what's being preached from this pulpit. The road of those that respect their moms and their dads. The road of those that went to Christian schools and respected it and weren't rebels. I'll check to see how they turned out. Oh, look what I see. I see Terry Duff and his wife. I see Ray Bordway and his wife. Look what I see. I see happy people, happy marriages, happy lives, happy homes. That's what I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen. All the work you got to do is see how the majority turned out and go where the majority are happy and successful. Somebody knocks on my door. I go to the door and I see a broken-hearted person. Brother Howes, can I talk to you? Oh, Brother Howes, my life is wrecked and ruined. See, Brother Howes, I read 15 chapters of the Bible every day. I prayed for 30 minutes every day. I never listened to a rock music tape. I went to Hammond Baptist School and Howes Anderson College, and I obeyed and respected, and I graduated with honors. Brother Howes, I went to Sunday school every Sunday. I worked on a bus route, and I am miserable. No, 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 no. This doesn't happen that way. You mark my words, there's never a week that passes. But what into Dr. Howes's office, there comes some young people who didn't listen to what, not so you do what I want you to do, do what I found out is the best to do. They come to my study and say, why didn't I listen? Every week of my life, I get letters. I got 3 in 1 week, about 3 weeks ago. Wrote me letters. Sent them to me where I was preaching. Of young people that sat in these pews that are now in penitentiaries and jailhouses. And they all said, tell the young people to listen to what Brother Hyle says. I think it's wonderful to see what's in the Bible, what's going to happen in the Roman Empire. I think it's more wonderful to see what in history, what's already happened in the Roman Empire, so you and I, our country, can avoid the pitfalls of the Roman Empire. I think it's okay to talk about the Antichrist, try to figure out who he is. I think it's more important to find out who the Antichrist have been and are, so you won't associate with them now. It's cute to study history. Old story, I used to use it more than I use it now. I was down in Lake Louise, Georgia. A little spooky lady walked up to me. You've seen these spooky deeper lifers. Actually, their eyes are what's deep, deep set, spooky look. She walked up to me and she said, Dr. Howells, could I ask you a question, please? I said, yes, ma'am. That's Southern for yes, ma'am. And she said, do you know, Brother Hiles, in Revelation 19, it says, talks about a horse. Brother Hiles, did you know what that horse in prophecy represents? I said, I got spooky too. I said, yes, ma'am, I know. I knew you would. Dr. Hiles, what does that horse symbolize in prophecy? I said, a horse. She said, Dr. Hiles, it says it's a white horse. Does that white have any special prophetic meaning? I said, yes, sir. Oh, I knew. What is it? I said, that's the color of the stupid horse. Now, what you better do, you listen carefully to me. What you better do is you better study history. In books, in the lives of others, and in your own life. And you better quit trying to find out how it's going to turn out and find out how it turned out. For the way it turned out in the past is the majority of the time the way it's going to turn out for you in the future. And that's why it's important that you learn from the other mistakes and other successes and find the road in history that leads to success and failure. Look at me carefully. I cannot make you quit following. Wherever my company leads, I'll go. Wherever my company leads, I'll go. I'll find me a church that I love so. Wherever my company leads, I'll go. My Bible says wherever he leads, I'll go. Not Sears Roebuck, not Montgomery Ward. Wherever he leads. I cannot make you heed what I'm saying tonight. And I cannot make you heed what I'm saying when I said you shouldn't set your foot inside a state university. And I can't make you heed what I say when I say you ought to send your kids to a Christian school or teach them yourself at home. I can't make you do that. But I can stand up here and love you enough to wave the flag and say this is the way it turns out for most people. Would you bow your heads, please? Our heads.